Osiris.
Hey guys, before we go beyond the pond, we are very excited to tell you about our sponsor for this week.
The holidays are right around the corner. What do you get for the fish fan who has everything aside from the war on drugs, Lost in the Dream on vinyl? Nah, you get him ice cream.
If you guys know anything about this podcast, you know that we care about three things: the song Mercury, the 1969 baseball season, and ice cream. That's why we're very excited to discuss Ben & Jerry's ice cream. Ben & Jerry's has collaborated with Fish and the Water Wheel Foundation to create a limited flavor. It's ice cream. A caramel malt ice cream with almond toffee pieces, fudge fish, and a caramel swirl. The packaging for the ice cream and a very limited t-shirt were designed by Jim Pollock. And a portion of the proceeds for the ice cream and all of the proceeds for the t-shirts were donated to the Water Wheel Foundation.
The ice cream and the teas can be ordered at store.benjerry.com. If you use the promo code Osiris, it's O-S-I-R-I-S, you can get free shipping on all orders over $50 for the rest of 2018. There's also a special curveball fish food / Water Wheel tea week that was created for the canceled festival that can be purchased online.
Now let's go beyond the pond.
Slipping on the friction slide, my skin feels to the bone. The flesh I leave behind is something I could not.
David Goldstein.
I am Brian Brinkman.
You are tuned into episode 50 of the Beyond the Pond podcast. This is the podcast in which generally Brian and myself utilize the music of Fish to introduce the listener to other bands, generally non-jam bands, or think that they might enjoy. Because as you know, if you listen to us in 50 episodes at this point, we love Fish. We are Fish fans. We love it when Fish tours like they are right now, and this is being recorded. But the problem with Fish fans is sometimes they get myopic. Only listen to Fish. Do not take advantage of the world of other wonderful, wonderful music out there, and we are going to do something about it.
Absolutely. And you guys have been listening to us across the almost 2 years now, over now to 50 episodes. We are so thrilled and shocked that we got to this point. When Dave and I started this little project back in March 2017, I think we thought maybe we'll do it for a season, maybe we'll do 10 episodes. We had no idea it was going to grow as much as it has and it would become what it has.
Because you guys kept wanting more.
You guys just kept begging us for more, you know? It's been an absolute joy to get here to 50 episodes. And contrary to David's intro, we are actually going to go full indulgent here and stay completely in the realm of Fish to celebrate our 50 episodes. Over the course of the next two episodes, maybe the next 6 hours, who knows, we are going to be covering our 10 favorite Fish shows of all time.
10 favorite that we had the chance to attend in person.
That is true. Yes.
I was not at 1231.95, so I can't talk about it. So, themes you can expect to hear in this episode: gratitude, our worst fish show ever, our best shows ever. And on that note, let's get to the fish.
Guys, so before we get started with our countdown across the next two episodes, we wanted to take a pause and express some gratitude. Dave and I are the voices that you hear most episodes. Most episodes, it's usually just us. Sometimes we have a guest. But there's a lot of people that go into building a podcast. If you've never thought about building a podcast, if you've never built one, or if you have, this is a huge, huge undertaking. It requires loads of support, loads of advice, loads of insight, loads of creative assistance, loads of friends who really just care about what you're doing and what your overall project is. And we have been very, very blessed and very lucky to have a lot of really good people in our life. We want to thank them all right now before we jump into the episode. So without further ado, RJB, Jonathan Hart, Matt Dwyer, and all of Team HF Pod.
Ben Greenfield, Josh Carver, Jake Cohen, Ryan Nichols,
Stephen Hayden, Tom Marshall, Rob Brennan, and Kathleen Hinkle,
Matt Burnham, Mike Lawn Memo, Mimeo, Sam Timberg, everyone who listened to our very first and very raw episode back in 2017,
Zencaster, Simplecast, the Osiris Podcast Network, what a huge family, the Sound Opinions Podcast,
Grayson Haver-Curran, Casher Trade, Lure Social, Penn and Jerry's, Fishnet,
all of our contributors to our biannual Best Albums of the Year episodes, Seth Eisenstein and PJ Rudolph, our first two fans, every single band that we've featured on this podcast who hasn't sued us yet.
It's not that they haven't wanted to try. All of you out there on Twitter who have supported and continue to push us, our wives, the Chicago Cubs and the New York Mets,
the UMBC basketball team, the album Yankee Hotel Foxtrot, Robert Mueller and his entire Russian investigation,
and last but not least, the war on drugs.
It's been a good run so far, hasn't it?
Absolutely. Going to do is before we decide to count down and get quite indulgent and friendly on our top 10 favorite fish shows of all time that we have attended, We're going to talk about the worst shows that we've attended because you can't have the best without the worst. It makes you appreciate the better ones.
Absolutely does. I have been very lucky to see, as of recording, 68 Phish shows. As of the time that this posts, 72. Still, shockingly, a relatively low number comparably. Though when I tell normal people in my everyday life how many Phish shows I've seen, they're like, how do you do that? How is that something you do? So I'm in that weird middle ground in life, you know? But I've seen a lot of really good shows, but I've also seen a lot of really mediocre and really bad shows, such as the nature of a fan who starts out seeing Phish in 2.0 and then starts to pick up pace in like 2009, 2010, 2011. But the worst show I've ever seen happened on April 15th, 2004 in Las Vegas, Nevada. I was 19. I was driving from Montana to Vegas with my four best friends. This was the first time I felt like I was on tour with the band. I had high hopes, probably ridiculous hopes, but high hopes that this was going to be the second island tour. Instead, during the middle of night one, I just kept asking myself, what's wrong with Phish? It was the only time I've ever seen them have been actually embarrassed. Trey's vocals were shot. Every song was sloppy as fuck. They missed the re-entry to Down With Disease. It was so embarrassing. The jams came and drowned and Down With Disease, but, you know, at what cost? This show, more than any other Phish show that was played in the late 90s and the early 2000s, this is the reason that Phish broke up. Dave, what do you got for us?
Well, the true answer would be February 24, 2003, being the infamous BB King show, but that show's a unicorn that we've talked about, so that's kind of like an outlier.
We've talked about that show a lot.
Yeah.
More than we need to.
Exactly. So I'm going to give you one other show from the same year. That would be November 29th, 2003, from the Spectrum in Philadelphia. That was part of their four-night turkey tour. I think what it was, like Nassau Coliseum, Philly, Boston Garden, and Albany. This, I think, was the worst of those four. And the band seemed very listless. It wasn't a very good set list. There was something resembling a jam in the set two twist. But that's about it. I mean, I remember they brought out Tom Marshall to sing Buffalo Bill. I think they encored with Friday, which, holy Jesus, don't ever do that. It just, it seemed like the band felt nothing, and I felt nothing. I just left that show thinking, how's the traffic getting home? Like, I didn't talk about it with my buddy. It wasn't even so much sloppy. It just, the word that keeps coming to mind is listless. It just wasn't anything I particularly enjoyed about that show, and I think the band kind of seemed to feel the same way. They're just kind of, let's get this to hell over with. Almost like they had a premonition as to how 2004 would go. So, yeah. Do not recommend November 29th, 03 from the Spectrum.
Yeah, I remember reading Jesse Jarno's infamous piece that came out after Vegas 04, and he referenced these four shows for the Turkey Tour, basically saying Phish has played 2 4-night runs and 1 3-night run in 9 months. There's no way that this is how a creative band that's like really growing can continue. And I remember when the set list came out for this, and I remember jumping on PT and being and just like it getting destroyed and being like, I don't know what's going on with Phish. This is supposed to be a really special tour. So I was not there, but I definitely understand your reasoning.
Yeah, was not feeling it. But on a better note, let's jump into our top 10 favorite Phish shows of all time that we've attended.
Before we get started, I just want to note this is part one of a two-part episode. We are going to count down 10 through 6 here on this episode. And then a week from today, we will come out with 5 through 1. So hopefully you guys can handle the delay, you know, in between. Hopefully you guys don't go too crazy. But Dave, what do you got as your number 10 favorite Phish show that you've attended of all time?
My number 10 is August 14th, 2009 from the Meadows in Hartford, Connecticut. So this was the second show I saw when Fish came back in 2009. I think the first one was the first night of the Jones Beach Run after they played Fenway Park. And that show was fine. It kind of felt a bit like a dress rehearsal. And I actually listened to it 2 months ago, and that was certainly borne out. A little sloppy, but just happy to have him back. Whereas August 14th actually felt like heading out to the bar and reconnecting with the best friends that you haven't seen in years. Because that was, I don't think there's any question that that was a top five show of 2009. And a lot of shtick in that show. There was an Iculus. They played Forbin's Mockingbird in the first set. In the second set, they did a Ghost into Psycho Killer into Ghost, which I think is part of a jam we're actually going to play. But I remember thinking to myself, okay, I'm much older now, but because this had an Iculus with hilarious Trey narration, because it had the Forbin's Mockingbird, had a Down with Disease with a Reba jam, I remember thinking if I was in high school, I'd have completely lost it. Only now, like being older, can I appreciate how the show is still really good and really fun. And I still listen to it pretty often to this day. Also, very good You Enjoy Myself, although I think this is one of the EMs where Trey just decides to put his guitar down and kind of like dance like a fool on stage. Oh, right. There's the John Fishman dance off when they're doing the thing that goes like pong back and forth, and Trey's saying, I hope this music is the music of the future, which leads to Iculus and you kids with your DVDs. No one reads the fucking book anymore. So sticky, but very well played, very fun. I was happy to be there.
The show also has a really good, I don't think you mentioned it, a Piper that segues perfectly into Water in the Sky, where they start playing the descending riff into Water in the Sky.
Yes. Just
it's so, so clean. I love that part of the show. Down with Disease has that Reba jam.
Punching the Eye Opener, Middle of the Road, which was like, I think, a Mike Leo Kottke song that was played like maybe four or five times that year, Never Again.
Right. I remember this show being played when I was living in South Korea for the first time, and I'll never forget waking up in the morning and seeing the set list and just like, same way. I mean, I think I'd seen 9 shows at this point in time. So like to see a set list like that, to see that the band was still going to play like this at this point in 3.0 just got me so excited, really carried me back to the US to go and see them. I loved everything about this show when it happened.
Yeah. And I went and saw 2 shows at the Garden, December 2nd, December 4th. And I actually brought my father-in-law to December 2nd. And they played Peaches and Regala, and he's a really big Zappa fan, so that was cool. But yeah, certainly this was one show that made me think, all right, it's all going to be okay.
Well, what are you going to play for us first?
Oh, yeah, the Ghost, Psycho Killer Ghost portion.
Let's do it.
We'll be right back.
can't relax, can't sleep, my bed's on fire. Don't touch me, I'm a real live one. Psycho killer, kiss me safe.
Dance contest right here. Whoever can do the best dance to this music wins something. Let's see you dance to this music right here. Here comes the winner right now. Thank you. catapults downtown to see the galleries and my favorite fiance in a lavender gown. But I'm hooked up to a machine. It performs my daily functions through a tube in my ween. And today that thing malfunctioned. Like a forest fire, it burned a hole in me, I perspired. So there ain't gonna be no wedding. No love affair, no art to which none compare.
Pears, pears, pears.
I love this song as much as I do. I love this. I'm waiting for the day that they play stuff like
All
this.
All right. Thank you so much for that flashback to almost 10 years ago, which is really crazy to think about. 8/14/2009. What a great show, Dave. So my number 10. September 1st, 2017, from Dick's Sporting Goods Park here in Colorado. So, as many of you know, I was supposed to do Dick's 2016, but life hit in a bad way, and I had to put that trip off. And it ended up, I mean, I think in some cases for the best, I got to return to Colorado with my wife, who was healthy, with my son. And we were able to enjoy Colorado right before we moved out here. And this was our first trip to Dick's in 5 years and really just served as a confirmation that we were moving to Denver. This show, night one of Dick's 2017, was far and away the best show of the run. As we went over in one of our episodes last year, I think it was episode 14. This was a continuation of everything great about the Baker's Dozen. It's very jammy. It's a really unique show with a killer five song, almost four song set to. Blazon opens the show and just absolutely jams. Breath and Burning jams, Tube jams. The trio of No Man in No Man's Land, Carini and Ghost is just some of the most outstanding fish I've ever heard in my entire life.
Carini is nuts.
The No Man goes into just atmospheric ambience. Ghost is just like a raging near 20-minute jam. And then they followed up with Hood. I mean, just it was an unbelievable introduction to Fish back at Dick's. I was with some of my best friends. Every single Friday show that I've seen at Dick's has just been outstanding. And this one kicked it off. It was this one was just kind of revelation on that. It was just an excellent, excellent show. What were your thoughts on this show, Dave?
Yeah, that show is as good as anything in the Baker's Dozen, and it had me with extremely high hopes for the other two nights of Dick's, which weren't that good.
No.
But yeah, the Carini is my favorite part of that show. Just it goes into just like a major jam where Trey is just doing his like curlicues on his guitar, going like da 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 da.
Yeah.
I listened to that show quite a bit. I couch toured with some very good friends over on the east side of town, East 38th Street, for that show. I have nothing bad to say about that show.
Yeah, it was a good one. So let's listen to a little portion of the Carini Jam here from Night One at Dick's 2017, September 1st, 2017.
right along. I have my number 9 that I attended. This was from the fantastic fall of 2013 Northeast Run. This is October 27th, 2013, also from Hartford, Connecticut. This was the day that Lou Reed died. So my friends, Kevin Finkel and Aaron Glick, who I have big Pond fans, I've seen a whole bunch of shows with, they got to witness me looking at my phone and then sobbing into it in a hot dog place in Wethersfield, Connecticut. They didn't know what happened. And I said, Lou Reed died. And they're like, oh, you're taking that really hard. Well, yeah, it's Lou fucking Reed. And as such, Phish, the Big Velvet Underground song is part of their repertoire is rock and roll. So they open with an 11-minute, very excellent type 1 version of that, followed by Trey saying, well, no, followed by the audience screaming, Lou, and Trey saying, let's take a moment of silence, one of the greatest songwriters ever. And of that, he is very correct. So overall, excellent show. I could have just as easily, I also saw the night before, Worcester Night 2, October 26th. I could have just as easily said that that was my 9th favorite show. But this one has a tweezer that I simply love. I've taken to calling it the service dog tweezer because it has a portion in the second half that's basically a slowed down version of the limb by limb chord progression. It just mellows me out like a service dog calms down like sick kids in the hospital. And I just want to put it on. All my cares in the world momentarily go away. And that tweezer, as good as it is, it's eventually followed by an extremely funky start-stop Golden Age, kind of like the Golden Age they played a few days earlier at Hampton. I know October 2013 is known for Waka Waka start-stop 60-minute Golden Ages. That was really good. Excellently played Fluffhead in that set. Just a very well-rounded show and one of my favorite venues because to me, the best thing about fall tour is hanging out in like the parking lot in like 45 degree weather in the more smaller industrial cities and minor league hockey arenas that Phish generally tends to populate in fall tour. When they had it, that really takes you back to high school. I mean, Hartford Civic Center was a place that I went all the time in high school because I'm from Connecticut. So in addition to being a very, very good show, it gave me some very good nostalgic feels.
Yeah, this show is, I just did like a re-listen of all the highlights of Fall 13, kind of getting ready for fall tour here in 2018. It's just one of those shows that just continues the hot streak. They're just like a baseball team that can't lose.
Right. You take it for granted.
You know, it's just, it's such a good set list. Very, very solid set list. Really, really excellent jams. And the tweezer in this is just some of the happiest, warmest jamming I've ever heard from Phish. I absolutely love it.
It's the golden retriever that licks your face.
Shall we hear a bit of it?
Yes. Let us listen to that portion of the tweezer.
So moving along to my number 9 show, we're taking it as far back as I go with Phish. I apologize to all the vets out there. I do not touch 1.0. Just never worked out for me. I was either too young, the timing wasn't right. I got things kicked off in February 2003. I'd been a Phish
too
fan.
Too young or too drunk?
What's that?
I said you were either too young or too drunk.
Yeah.
Not really.
No, I got into Phish in 2001, but they were on hiatus, so it was until winter 2003 that I was able to finally see them. And my first show was February 20th, 2003 at Allstate Arena in Rosemont, Illinois, right next to O'Hare International Airport. So this show contains a really great Type 1 rock and roll in the first set. An excellent 50-minute Waves in a Simple and a Gotta Jubu segment that closes things out. That's just so 2.0. I sat fourth row, mic side, some of the best seats I'll ever have and I've ever had at a Phish show. Set 2 has a very killer tweezer, which is a preview of the Nassau tweezer that we covered in episode 26, and a 7 Below that is just such a groovy jam. All that said, to be honest, I left this show disappointed. I think I had built Phish up for 2 years, and I don't know if any show would have been, you know, satisfying unless they played, you know, Gamehenge or something ridiculous like that. But this show grew on me a lot in 2009, when the band wasn't jamming as much during that tour, and I just was craving that kind of improvisation from Phish, and it just... It's now one of my favorite shows. So I listen to this show all the time. I listen to the jams from this show all the time. And I learned 3 very important lessons at this show that have stuck with me for pretty much the entirety of my Phish career, even though I've deviated from each of them at times, as we will. You know, we can't control everything at a Phish show. But the 3 things were this. Number 1, do not go overboard in the lot.
Yeah.
Number 2, get in early. You want to get your beer, you want to get your seat, you want to have space, all that sort of stuff. Number 3, and this is very important, and I learned this immediately, and I've had a couple of shows where this has come back to bite me in the ass in the wrong way. But don't sit with friends who don't get it. No, it's great to sit with friends. It's great to sit with, you know, buddies of yours. But like at the end of the day, if they don't get it, it's just going to take away from aspects of it. So I learned those 3 things, and I'm glad to say that I brought all of them with me going forward. So we're going to play a little bit of the 7 Below here from February 20th, 2003. My first show ever, and still one of the best shows I've ever seen.
Brings me to number 8. This is my third ever show, December 2nd, 1995, from New Haven Coliseum in New Haven, Connecticut. The Coliseum no longer exists. It was a very smoky, very strange minor league hockey arena that almost kind of looked like a plus sign. I mean, it was very 70s, like you could have imagined seeing like Van Halen there in like 1976, just like a huge cloud of like cigarette smoke. I didn't dislike it. It was also very close to my childhood home. Remember, it was very, very cold on this evening. And what's funny about 12295 is that taken as a whole, it's not a very good show. And it's a very staid set list. The fourth quarter is like three or four set closers all just played back to back to back. I mean, it was as close as you can get to a dud on December 1995. But the reason that I have it up there and the reason that people know about the New Haven Tweezer is that this show featured the fastest, hardest, hosiest tweezer in the history of the band. It does a little bit of fast tweezer expiration, and then Fishman kicks the jam into double time, and then that's the most exercise I've ever gotten at a Fish show because I was on a treadmill going 60 miles an hour. I remember screaming my head off like Art Blakey when he's playing the drums going, "What is happening?" I was 16 years old and having the time of my life, and that tweezer holds up. That's if you ever want to get excited for something, you want to psych yourself up, you want to go on a run, you want to do something that's hard and fast, and you want to see about how Fish was used to be capable of playing, check that tweezer out. I mean, they did similar things on November 30th, 1995 from the Nutter Center. That tweezer has like a 3-minute fast host portion. Oh, there's also some of it on December 14th, 1995 Binghamton tweezer. But this is the only one that just have like 10 minutes of straight fire. Like if you haven't heard it, Jesus Christ, pause the podcast, go to re-listen, listen to it. You'll come back a changed man or woman.
The good thing is we're going to play it right now.
Yes, we are.
All right. December 95, just torrential fish. Unbelievable stuff there. So bringing it up to the modern age. Night one of Dicks this year. It's my eighth favorite show. 8/31/2018. Man, this was an emotional and a heavy fish show. I've never seen a show like this. I don't think anybody in the fan base has seen a show like this. Just so many emotions from the crowd, from the stage. The band's playing just said everything that you needed to know. Harry Hood in the second slot. All caps blaze on. I mean, just an unbelievable 12-minute type one take on that song. Ghost finding its way into Cross-Eyed and Painless midway through set one. Carini warded off the curveball demons. Light reprised the Dicks Undermined. I mean, it was just, the show was relentless. It felt just like you were just getting pummeled with fish emotions. Felt like the band was just had a mission to come on stage, get off stage, and never think about Curveball ever again. Just wanted to get.
Yeah, they thought about it plenty on nights two and three.
It's true. But, you know, it just felt like they wanted to, like, make this massive musical statement and move on from there. So this was an amazing show. Did you webcasted this show, right?
Yeah, I captured. That was a great show. Everyone at my little couch tour party was very, very pumped up for that show. God, the Carini and the Light, especially, just like the Carini's, like, doing scaling skyscrapers with these pick bends just higher and higher and higher. Yeah, fantastic show. One of the best of the summer. And again, nights two and three, not as good.
Right, right. It's just it's a weird trend here. I'm hoping that they we don't see that again here in 2019 at Dick's. But for the time being, this Light from 8/31/2018, unbelievable stuff here. Let's check it out. We'll be right back.
Okay. So my number seven, I have August 15th, 2015 from Meriwether Post Pavilion. This was such a fun show. I mean, you look at the set list, set one, a lot of rarities, like big bust out set. And then set two, it just flows awesomely. It's got this big 46 days. There's this huge D major bliss jam that you think is going to turn into Free, but doesn't turn into Free, and they were much better for it. It's got a ginormous Piper, which has Fishman taking like drum solos. Like, he's like literally taking drum solos. It sounds like they're going to go into the real me. They don't quite do that. And then they go into a tweezer from that Piper, which may have the stankiest, like, Paige clavinet. As they say, when Paige stands up, we get down. And boy, oh boy, did they get down here. That goes into, like, NO2 and Trey's running around with a megaphone. I mean, not only was the show itself extremely fun, but it was a very nice day outside. I had somehow managed to kind of get my way down to the lower pavilion, not too far from the floor. And we were with my friend James Ingalls, who's only seen two Fish shows at me, both of those shows at Meriwether Post Pavilion. But he's one of those guys that when you're friends for life, and he isn't shy about buying you lots of hard liquor drinks at Fish concerts. And if you've ever been to Meriwether Post Pavilion, up on the lawn, kind of off to the side, they have the place where you can buy cocktails. And, you know, usually if I'm at a Fish show, I'll have like an IPA or two, but usually not hard liquor. And I was actually watched the second set of this show with friend of the pond, PJ Rudolph, was similarly feeling good. And during that Piper, when he heard Tweezer, we kind of turned sideways like, they're going to do it. They're going to do it. Oh, my God. They're going to do it. They're going to play Tweezer. Which, and they did. And after the show, he went to Ellicott City and got Korean barbecue and loaded up on soju, and everyone just went home full and happy, and it was one of the best Fish experiences and scene/friend experiences I've had at a show. I know you were at this show.
I was, and I'm staying silent because I've got a lot I'm going to say about this show a little bit later as well. This is I'm just grinning listening to what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. I definitely know it's coming.
I'm just grinning hearing it because, you know, it's funny because this show, I feel like every person at this show had the exact same experience that you had, that I had, in just slightly different ways. So I love everything about hearing this.
Yeah. So let's listen to the portion of the Piper when it eventually goes into Tweezer, which I'm thinking is the dun, 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 dun. That part. So Brian knows exactly what to cue up when he edits this. So do it. Yeah.
right, sticking with summer 2015, what a summer tour this was, man. I had so much fun on this tour.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with day two of Magna Ball, August 22nd, 2015, as my number seven favorite show of all time that I've attended. This was just the best fish day ever. I woke up in Elmira, and just as a note, we were not camping because my wife was 32 weeks pregnant at the time with our son. We were motelling it. We woke up in a motel in Elmira. We had an amazing breakfast and drove into Magna Ball. It was a gorgeous day. That whole area looks like Gamehenge. I mean, I know why Fish loves Watkins Glen. I know why they love the area. It's just it's green, it's lush, it's hilly, it's gorgeous. There's beautiful farmhouses everywhere. Just a beautiful, beautiful setting to go and see fish. And you knew you were getting fish from about 3 p.m. to 2 a.m. Three sets plus a secret set. And could you ask for anything more?
No. I don't think you can.
So this show had a Divided Sky opener, which is my favorite fish song. This was the first time I saw it open a show. First set was pretty first setty, but you know, it didn't matter. It was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Beers were flowing. People were dancing. It was just a fun, fun environment. It was, I don't think I've ever re-listened to the first set of the show, and I don't think I ever need to, but in the moment it was kind of like the perfect barbecuing set. Set two featured an excellent 46 days with the two versions of Me Jam, the Tweezer into Prince Caspian. Note, not back into Tweezer. Not back into Tweezer. We covered this Prince Caspian episode 12, if you guys want to go back and check it out. Set three's got Blaze On, Possum, Light, Cities. The most interesting version of 555 played outside of its debut. I mean, just an amazing three sets of music, jams everywhere. And then set four, I remember the show ended. We were tired. It was getting cold. I remember asking my wife, do you think you can make it? Do you think you can handle another hour or so of hanging out here in music? And she was like, I can do it, you know, and I was so thankful for it. And she was like, I want to see a secret set too. And so we made our way over to the big movie theater and put a blanket down, laid down. Fish came on stage and played an hour of ambient noise and droning melodies in the middle of upstate New York. In the late hours of the night. Just total perfection, a total dream moment for me. And so I'm going to play a little bit of the drive-in jam here from August 22nd, 2015, which is my seventh favorite fish show of all time.
Thank you.
States. My sixth favorite show that I have attended. This is my second show. And by the way, up to this point, I've seen 76. So this was number two, June 29th, 1995. I thought this was a lot better than night one. Night one has that 35-minute tweezer that's very similar to 1995, and I find very dissonant and kind of boring. But what was interesting about night one was that we've been like seeing Setlist and Doniak Schweiss and seeing they've had all these new songs that they played at the Lowell, Massachusetts, like Planned Parenthood, Voters for Choice gig, like, I guess Free, Theme from the Bottom. Maybe they played Don't You Want to Go at that show. I can't remember. But none of those new songs have been played on 628. It was a very old school vintage. So what they did for 629 was they went in the opposite direction and they ended up playing almost all of those new songs. They had the second song in the first set was Taste. There was a Free set two opener. First time I ever heard Free. Still maybe my favorite version of the song just because I can see the yellow lights and the fog over the water in Jones Beach. Theme from the Bottom, Encore. They played Acoustic Army at that show. Day in the Life, which was the cover du jour in 1995. And also, of course, they played that huge, gorgeous, very strange Bowie, which we covered a while back. And they also played Summer 1995, You Enjoy Myself, had absolutely sick mic drum and bass jams. And what we're actually going to play is the drum and bass portion of the You Enjoy Myself. But in addition to just being a really good show for your second show, again, I mean, I have fond memories of this because I was only 15 years old. We hung out on the beach the day before. I mean, we hung out on the beach the afternoon before. We played Ultimate Frisbee with some slightly older guys that said they were writers for Fishnet. I didn't get their names. Maybe I'm friendly with them now. I don't know. But it was all in all, it was an excellent experience. And I got to stay at my grandparents' house in Roslyn, New York, because that's what you do when you're 15. You stay at grandma and grandpa's house. So let's listen to some of the drum and bass portion of the hot You Enjoy Myself from June 29th, 1995. We'll be right back.
All right. So my number six show is yet another show from summer 2015. This was just such a good tour. Oh my God. I can honestly say this is the best tour I've seen the band on, just from a consistent standpoint, because I saw them 3 weekends in a row over the last month of the tour. And oh man, just the memories I have seeing them at Alpine, Merriweather, and then Magnaball. Just unbelievable, right before I became a dad.
What's Cuyahoga Falls? Is that 8-7, right?
8-7, yeah. So that was okay. The Friday night, and then Saturday, Sunday was Alpine.
Love Cuyahoga Falls.
This show's got like a Gamehenge-esque feel to it. I was sitting in really excellent seats in the pavilion with my brother, Kevin, and one of our best friends, Nick Wilson, two of my absolute favorite people to see Phish with. On the way to the show, we stopped at a great little Wisconsin sports bar on a no-name lake for the pre-show. There were raging Phish tunes there, serving killer cheese curds and pouring New Glarus. It was just absolutely perfect. At the show, we got the very first very long fuse since Halloween 14. I got my first ever Forbin's Mockingbird and almost lost my shit. We got a Sanity, we got a Saw It Again, all in set one. I believe I heard rumors that Craig Hilwig had something to do with this set list, that Trey was asking Tom for rarities, and Tom texted Craig, and he gave him a bunch of these. I could be wrong on that, but I feel like I've heard that here and there. And either way, whatever happened.
That is the urban legend.
What's that?
I said, that is the urban legend.
That is it. Whatever happened, an absolute amazing set list, an amazing show. Second set, we got Waves segueing perfectly into Tweezer. And Tweezer had just been played two nights earlier at Blossom, so it was incredibly unexpected. Led to a Franklin's Tower jam. Later in the set, we got the second Mike's jam, following the breakthrough in Nashville and the last time they jammed the song until 8-2-17, Holes Night at the Baker's Dozen. All together, super fun show, just like very emotional, very historic. It felt like a nod to Jerry on the 20th anniversary of his passing, but it also just felt like a really excellent Phish show and a really excellent Phish tour. So we're going to play a little bit of the Franklin's Tower jam here from that Tweezer, August 9th, 2015. We'll be right back.
this is our bottom five. So let me recap the jams we played in this episode. We listened to the Ghost Psycho Killer Ghost portion from August 14, 2009. Listened to the Fiery A Major Carini jam from September 1st, 2017. Listened to a mellow portion of a Tweezer, October 27, 2013. The Seven Below from February 20th, 2003. The Fiery, Fiery, Fiery Tweezer from December 2nd, 1995. The Light from August 31st of 2018. The Piper into Tweezer from the Batshit Insane set 2 of August 15th, 2015 from Rareware the Post Pavilion. Of course, the Drive-In Jam from August 22nd, 2015. Some of the Fiery Drum and Bass in the Union Drum I saw from June 29th, 1995. And then finally, a portion of the Tweezer from August 9th, 2015.
And just a reminder for you guys, where you can find us on social media. On Twitter, we are incredibly active, especially during Phish Tour, @_beyondthepond. We have a Medium page, and you can find some of our writings and links to our episodes as well, medium.com/beyondthepond. And Spotify, our ever-growing playlist. I don't know if any of these songs will make it to the playlist because so many of these tend to be bootlegs and they're not on Spotify. But it's, I believe it's over 300 songs at this point. Is that right?
Yes.
Well over 300 songs. The Beyond the Pond podcast songs playlist. We'd encourage you guys all to check those out.
So, as you know, are well aware, our publishing structure is every other Tuesday. Tuesdays don't have much feel. We try to give you something to look forward to on Tuesday morning. So come back in a week for episode 50, part 2. We will count up from number 5 all the way up to number 1. So come back in a week. We'll hold hands. We'll sing Kumbaya. We'll talk about some fish. We'll go beyond the pond.
Osiris.